Hey, good morning to you all, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
It is a pleasure for me to be back with you after a relaxing time in the blessed nation of Mexico, where we have spent our true vacation for more than 16 years in the same place. And we really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And so I thank you for your care for me, and I thank God for the care of the church. I have a sad note to say to all of you who knows a man here in church for a long time. Paul Ortiz Jr. went to be with the Lord 2 days ago, and I just got the news from his former wife, and we will plan a memorial service here, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. I will call you and let you know. I'm working with the family and with the funeral house and so on for the date. But I don't think that Brother Ortiz Sr. knows, and I don't call him. Let me call him first this afternoon in Puerto Rico and let him know. He left a message for me. I was on vacation to pray for Paul. Maybe Paul was a little sick or something. And as you know, he has a complete problem on his neck, and he was under heavy drugs and so on for the pain. So we all pray that God's mercy was upon him, even though at this difficult hour, and that he be in the presence of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we are privileged to open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus, and to proclaim the word of our Lord Jesus, and to proclaim that there is a Savior, and there is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to know God through Jesus our Lord. And Father, today we will proclaim that the Bible is actual as tomorrow's newspaper. And we pray that as we meditate upon thy word, that thy word will seal our heart and open our minds so that we know the blessedness of having a Bible that we believe. We are thankful, Father, that we have missionaries of like mind. And we pray, Lord, that Fred and Carol Lewis will continue in the recovery. The doctors are very close to find exactly what happened with Fred, and the diagnosis will be out very soon. And we pray, Lord, that the recovery will follow. And Father, we pray for Carol and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea, for Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, for Martha Poretti in Buenos Aires, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, for Daniel and Miriam Lacey. And Daniel is just finishing the race in Atlanta and is flying back home today, and we pray for your care and blessings upon his life. Lord, we are grateful that this church does not belong to any man, they belong to you. And even though I was out of the pulpit had a man who preached the word. And we thank you, Father, and the choir, and the people of the church function, because this is the church of the living God. And we thank you, Father, for that. We do not build a church upon a man's foundation, but upon Christ, who is our foundation. And we are blessed by him, regardless who is the speaker, and how wonderful it is to know. For me, after 23 years in this ministry and this church, that the church has been founded right upon the rock that we love so much. Bless us, Lord, now as we hear the choir and as we hear the reading of thy word. And may the people in the tape ministry, CD ministry, and radio and internet ministry be blessed by the presence of the Christ that is communicated through the voice of praise and through the voice of thy word. And Jesus, our Lord, we pray with thanksgiving, knowing that you support the church and knowing that you bring the offering to the church. So bless the giver and bless the offering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated.
Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Joshua. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 141. We will be reading Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we come into your presence on the basis of the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that your promises cannot, they will not fail. We see that your word demonstrates this, and we know we are on solid ground when we rely on your word to know the truth that has set us free. We confess that we are sinners. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but it's based on your promises. We thank you for the gift of faith and pray for strength that we may demonstrate our faith by our obedience, so that we may be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, we are grateful that Pastor Jack Van Dyken was with us the last two Sundays, and now we are grateful that your servant, our teacher, and Pastor Gabriel Otero has returned to this pulpit to expound your word. Great is your faithfulness. We pray for all those listening to Pastor's teaching, those here and those listening on radio and the internet and tape and CD, that you would bless us with understanding so that we may have success in doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and let me look to the Lord in prayer before we open the scripture. Our Father, without your word, we have nothing to say, and without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word today, and let the spirit show us your way. In Jesus we pray, amen. Will you turn, please, your Bible to the book of Joshua in chapter 1 in a well-known passage. And I will have, it's in page 141, and I'm going to mention as I jump from a scripture to a scripture, mention the page number so that you are able to look upon. Also, a copy of the sermon is in the church bulletin for your information. When you go home, you have the entire outline. For 4 or 5 Sundays, I would like to address on actual things that happen today in America. And today's address is on the Bible in our changing world. I have been exhorted many, many, many times that I should wake up, and because if I'm a man of science, I should know that the world is changing, and therefore this book of yours and mine is old and doesn't apply to our life. So it's good to address a sermon, because this is not the first time the world changed, and you will see it in a moment. The Bible in our changing world. As you look for the passage, let me address a few questions. Think of the changes that have occurred just within our own lifetime. I was born in 1936, so I saw a lot of changes in this world. I don't tell you the year Jack Cassandra was born, but he saw more changes than me. We think first of all the changes that brought They were brought by inventions, changes in travel. I was amazed. I was in a plane about 1,800 miles from America, and in 3 hours, I land in America again. The changes in travel and communication. I saw people swimming with a telephone in their hand. And they get a call and they start swimming and talking. That was great. Changes in communication, changes in medicine, and cooking, and so on. However, there are other kinds of changes too. The movement of people from country to the city. The spread of metropolitan areas into the country. Increased leisure time, increased crime, drug usage, and the increase of divorce. Another fact that strikes us is the rapidity of the change. So many new things are arising in less than 20 years, like the computer, for example. We find it hard to keep up psychologically, and we wonder if we will be able to stand the pace in the years to come. What changes will the future bring to you and to me? We try to prepare our children for the world. We try to give them security while all the time our security is threatened by this changing of things in life. But the Christian, my friend, is not a victim of change. I say it again. The Christian is not a victim of change, because he has found in the Bible an unchangeable resource for all our needs. The Christian is not a victim of change because the Christian have found in the Bible a resource who is unchangeable for anything you look for. The Christian sees the world confused by change, but the Christian hold out to the world the solid word, the word of God, the Bible. I was asked question after question like in any other vacation I had from science people. The great question of all, why religious change when any religion that is not found in the Bible need to change with the change of time? But when you are found upon the rock of the Bible, you do not need to change. Well, let's work with the Spirit, with the passage. The passage that I have chosen for you this morning will give us a solid practical lesson on the issue, the Bible in our changing world. Three things I'd like to communicate with you in this passage. First, the historical background that verse 1 in Joshua chapter 9 bring to us. Then, the secret background that is behind the scenes, and then the contemporary background, and praise God that we hold this book and that God opened our eyes to know that here is the unchangeable, practical book for a lifetime. The historical background, verse 1. I read it again. Our brother have read so well. Now after the death of Moses, and I'm reading Joshua 9, verse 1, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. There are four things here in that text for you and for me. In the historical background, verse 1 tells us that Moses, the only leader Israel knew for 40 years, is dead. Now, after the death of Moses, 120 years old man, a great leader, a great man in the hands of God after he learned the lesson and paid the price for 40 years. Then God used him for 40 years. And the whole nation of Israel, the only man they knew as a politician, as a congressman, as the leader of God was Moses. And now the news, the servant of God is dead. Verse 1 tells us also that Moses was God's servant, and that was all that Israel knew about God, and his law came through Moses. Look at what the Bible said. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Put one hand here and move your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, the previous book, page 129, chapter 18, and verse 15. Not only Moses was the great leader as the president of Israel, the prime minister of Israel, and the lawgiver of Israel, but he was the prophet of God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. A prophecy about the Lord Jesus. But there, Moses said, I'm a prophet. God will raise you a prophet just like me. And you better listen to him. So Israel, the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 9 and verse 1, that Moses was the servant of the Lord. And he was the prophet of God. And the only thing Israel knew about God came from the lips of Moses. He's dead. Verse 1 in Joshua 9 tell us, in Joshua chapter 1 tell us, that God raised up a new leader, Joshua, a faithful, trustworthy, God-fearing man. He has served Moses well for 40 years. He knew what was needed. Nevertheless, it was a different work. Now changes will take place as the needs are, because now Joshua need to divide the land, put the tribes in their localities. Let me read for you verse 1 and verse 3 and 4. in Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan. God is bringing a change, a new leader. And what he's going to do, look at what verse 2 says. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, and to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. A land that was occupied by different people. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of the Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, which is the Mediterranean, shall be your coast. Boy, it is a change. Moses leave Israel in the wilderness. And now Joshua is going to bring these people into their land. They will wipe off the people of the land. And then he has to assign to every tribe a place in the land. That is a change that never happened before. The only thing they knew was follow the leader. And when the cloud stopped, Moses stopped, and that was easy. And they are hungry, God brings bread from heaven. You don't have to pay $15 for a breakfast. That was free. And when the people complained, Moses went to God and said, looking for these people. And God said, mercy, Isaac. Moses, easy, Moses, easy. Mercy, Moses, mercy, mercy. I know them. I'm God. Just keep on going. And it was easy going through the wilderness. But now is a different task. They have to cross the Jordan. And across the Jordan are 11 nations, the Arab nations. And God said to Joshua, every foot you put on is yours. But boy, there is a person there. But you just go. Not only you, 6 million people behind you. And after you conquer the land, you sit down in the office like Moses did and say, so-and-so, here's your land. So-and-so, here is your land. So-and-so, here is your land. You're going to do all of that without Congress, without ministers, without anybody. I am with you, Joshua. You're going to do it. Did Joshua accomplish the work? Friends, this is change. This is change. Changes took place. Different leader, different type of work, different assignment, different responsibilities, but the work was done and was successful. Turn your Bible, please, in the book of Joshua to chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. And look with me what Joshua has to say. Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 to the end of the chapter, verse 45. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwell therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers. And there stood no a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their land. Look at verse 45 carefully. There fell not out of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Would you like to have a president who had that connection with God? All came to pass. And I look into that, and I say, what is the secret? What is the secret that this man, alone, without computer, without the telephone swimming in one hand and the telephone in the other, without the telephone, without satellite communication, without an army with missiles, without anything we have today. What is it? Where is it that brought this man in the period of 10 years to bring that accomplishment that all Israel was divided, every estate with their family name and so on? Where is it? Where is it? This is what I call the secret background. The secret background. You're going to know the secret now. Why Joshua was so successful in a changing time. All right? Let's do it. Number one, verse 6 tells me, going back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Number one, verse 6 tells me that God has a plan. Now, you have to understand that Joshua 21, 43 to 45 said that the Lord gave Israel the land. Joshua was a tool in God's hand, but the Lord did the work. So, let's see. How? Well, God has a plan. Verse 6. He said to Joshua, be a strong and a good courage. For unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. What was the plan? His word. I said unto your fathers, get out of Egypt, because I'm going to give you a land. So God's word. You have to move because of my word. The plan is my word. This is my plan. My word is my plan. Joshua, here's what it is. You have to move. I promise your grandparents, they will rest at peace in the land of the Hebrew. And my word is what you have. Go. I have a plan. My word. Whew. I have a plan. My word. You know, we have a plan. God's word. The Bible says, if you're a child, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Why? God has a plan. Friend, God has a plan. We don't need the state trying to tell us how to raise our children. We do not need Hillary Clinton to tell us that the community needs to raise your children. She's a little off in that, poor lady, with all respect. We have a plan. It's in the Bible. And the plan is, children, obey your parents. When? The Bible says, obey your parents. We have a plan. Why do we have so much divorce? You know what the Bible says? It says, a husband, love your wife. It's a plan. You get married, man? The Bible says, love your wife. Even when she doesn't cook the enchilada right, you love your wife. You love your wife. Even when she does something you don't like, you love your wife with a passion as Jesus loved the church. Whew. So that stopped you. You know what Peter said? If I knew that, I would not get married, said Peter. I don't blame it. You are hooked. Said, matter of fact, when I marry something, Joey can tell you, 10 minutes before the ceremony, I said, you can run and the wedding is over. That's it. I told my daughter when having my arm, I said, you know, your boy is over there, but if you don't want to, we'll run the other way and we have the dinner ourselves. It's all up to you. I give people an option. All right? Because after it's done, you go by the book. You go by the book. We have a plan, all right? We have a plan. It's right here. You don't need to take seminars to find what's your future in marriage. You have a plan right here, written in the Bible. Man, you are the most responsible person for your marriage. If your marriage goes wrong, you are guilty, say God. No, don't blame me. God say it. You have to entice your wife. You have to adorn your wife. You have to take care of your wife in such a way that she is just wishing you are with her. That's heavy. All right? For all of us. All right. Because we all have things that we like to do alone. God has a plan. Better than the State Department. God has a plan. But God has a request. Verse 7.
Look at verse 7. God has a request. See, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do. Underline those words. Observe to do. We like to memorize things. We like to know a lot, and it's good to know. But God likes us to practice. Observe to do the law which Moses, thy servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. God has a request. Please, please obey my word. Obey my word. Now, you memorize the Bible? That's fantastic. One time, when I was young in a seminary, I memorized the book of 1 John in Greek. That's good. But that is not so good as obey what I said. What good is for me to memorize my word and my wife can tell you, well, he memorized his word, but he doesn't do what the word said. See, that's what the key is. No wonder a pastor needs to be someone who is in control of his household. That means there is a harmony in the household. Because the children can tell you everything about you. That's very important. That's better than a title from a seminary. See, God wants saints alive. Somebody asked me in the pool, says, sir, what do you think about saints? Because they were talking about Protestant and Roman Catholicism. And they said, what do you think, what the Protestant people think about saints? I said, well, I want to say the same thing that Mr. Clinton said. What means sane? You know, go in detail. Remember when Mr. Clinton said what means ease and so on. What means saints? Well, saints, somebody hanging on the wall. No, that's not a saint. I don't want anybody to hang me on the wall. Romans 1:7 said clearly, they're beloved saints of God to the church of Rome. Saints are people that God has separated their heart, their mind, their life for him. And so God has a request. Obey my word. And when you obey your word, you are a separatist, a saint, somebody who separates yourself automatically from the world and you do what God said. And if you do what God said, you don't do what these other people said. It's just so beautiful. So God has a request. Please, will you obey me in practice? Then God has an assignment, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, again, according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. You know what God said? Study the plan. That's what that means. Study the plan. Look at what he says. In verse 7, in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Don't give yourself a chance not to read the Bible because you are not studying the plan. How many times you have read the same passage and you find new things in the Bible? He read the book of Proverbs 20 times on chapter 2, and then suddenly he said, oh, wow, look at this, and look at this, study the plan. God said, friend, study the plan. You know, some of the pastors, friends of mine, they said, you know, I got out of seminary, I forgot my Greek and my Hebrew. You know why? Because they never read it again. I'm possessed when I study. So much Saturday, I spent the day here reviewing and doing and things, and suddenly I found it, something precious, and I was with all my documentation and the screen, my Bible here and there. My door was open in the trailer, and I don't know who came in. My good friend Greg came in, and suddenly, I guess he spent a few minutes over there, and finally he put the hand on my face and said, oh, what is it? Because you're possessed by this. Wow, this new word. I have a new understanding. I'm sure I understand in this way. And you check it here and you check it over there. Study the plan. People of God, study the plan. Then verse 9, God has a point in verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's the point. I will be with you. No security for the future. God doesn't tell Joshua, if you go to the left, then you conquer the city of Jericho better than if you go to the right. God told Joshua step by step, one step at a time, that the book of Psalms says, one step at a time, what to do. But there is one security in Joshua. It's not his army. Those had never fought before. It's not his missiles. It's not nothing more than God, I will be with you. Are we blessed that the Holy Spirit is in our heart and will never leave us? The Bible said you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise till the day of redemption. In Ephesians 4:30. Are we not blessed? The Lord is with us. And what do I have? What do I have? You know, I have a great news for you. My trip in Argentina was worth it. My brother is free from that mental hospital. The son put it by mistake. My courageous niece confronted the chief doctor and said, my uncle came here. My uncle showed you the details. And he's a man that wanted to fulfill his word. Will you fulfill your word? He said, yes, I release the man. I was able to talk to my brother last night, free. And I told him, brother, you are free. You are free not because of your knees, not because of me. You are free because you're a child of God. And people can put you in the pit with the lions, but the Spirit of God will get you out. Beloved brother and sister in the Lord, doesn't matter how deep you are, God, if you are faithful, if you are clean, and if you walk with the Lord, He will get you out from the pit. Even though it's a suffering as you go out, He gets you out. God has a point. I will be with you. Are we blessed people? Doesn't matter how age you are. Doesn't matter. How blessed we are. Now the contemporary background. This clock is too fast for me. The contemporary background. The Word of God is not subject to change. Will you turn your Bible to Isaiah 40, verse 8, page 429, I think. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The Word of God is not subject to change. Isaiah 40 verse 8. The grass withered, the flower faded, but the Word of God shall stand forever. Forever. The Word of God shall stand forever. So the contemporary background, the Word of God is not subject to change. Second, the Word of God is tomorrow's textbook. Will you turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40, please? Chapter 40 and verse 22. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. And this is good for any science geologist. Look at what the Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 22. It is He that seated upon what, ladies and gentlemen? The circle of the earth, and took until the year 1592, the Columbus discovered America. Mankind took so long from the creation than to discover that the earth was round. Isn't that fantastic? And God wrote it. And we read it, and people read it in the year 1000. People read it in the year 100. And nobody thought about it. They thought, do you have drawings that the earth is flat, like a paper, and the sheep were afraid to go a little farther because they're going to fall, they said. Have you read history? It is amazing. And the Bible said, God said, I sit down. Where, God? On the circle of the earth. I showed to all the geologists how neophytes they are. They did nothing. They did nothing. The Bible is so good. And I can show hundreds of technical things in chemistry. It's just fantastic. It's just when the prescriptions of food in the Bible, it's just fantastic. And people now discover penicillin. Well, look in the Bible. They were given. It's just amazing. And they think it's a yesterday book. It's tomorrow's book. God's Word is not subject to change. God's Word is tomorrow's textbook. God's Word is tomorrow's instruction manual.
Go with me to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, page 673. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and verse 2. God's word is tomorrow's instruction manual. They asked me. People in America has questions. I spend one day from 11 o'clock to 6:30 in the afternoon in the pool talking. It was so good. They ask me questions like children, professionals. They ask me questions. And they said, what do you think about gay marriage? Oh, I said, the manual. Listen to the manual. And I have my old Bible in my hand in the swimming pool. The guy was with the telephone. I was with my Bible. That was a great picture. Here it is. What do you think about homosexuals? Let's go to the manual. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the thing wherefore you wrote unto me. I said, guys, you came too late with the question. People wrote before about it. How long? Well, this is the year 100. So look at how far. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, messing around, let every man have his own man, wife, feminine. And let every woman have her own woman, no, her own husband. That's the prescription. What I think, I don't get with the Congress. Well, the Congress is going to approve. I don't get with the Congress. It's a bunch of people who know how to read. I tell you, this is good. This is absolutely good. God's word is tomorrow's instruction manual. God's word is a training manual. Parents, look to this. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them in the nurture. The original word is training and exhortation of the Lord. You know what training is? Give an example. All right? That's training. You can tell somebody, and I only know the sport that I know is soccer. So training in soccer, how you kick the ball from the goalie. You know, all like this. So you look your face up, and you look where the winds are, and you measure the distance, how fast is this wind, and you shoot the ball 15 feet ahead of the wind that he's going to get. How do you do that? Well, if you do from the left, in your right thing, you put from the top of your foot, you know, you get all the instruction. But then the coach comes and said, here's the way to do it. And he do it for you. And he do it again. And they say, well, okay, tomorrow you just spend 8 hours doing that. And you spend 8 hours doing that until you blind you, and you run and you do it. And the ball goes right where it belongs to. Training. Parents, you cannot tell your children, do this and do the other. You say to your children, darling, this is the way we do it. And then you show it. My mother showed me how to do the bed before the Navy told me, so my wife can enjoy it when I get up. I got that bed all done. And my wife came and inspected, oh, this line is not right. Who cares for me? But I had to move it. But I was trained by my mama so I can bless my wife. And this is the way it is. The Bible is a training manual. Are we blessed that we have the book? The Bible in our changing world. The world changed many times, from walking in the wilderness and to dividing the metropolitan cities of Judea. A very sober leader, patient, loving. A very war leader, Joshua. Don't fool around with Joshua. Was the bush of Israel. You fool around, I cut your head. That's it. That was instruction from God. That's the way to do it. What glued them together? God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. Doesn't matter if you're Roman Catholic or Protestant or whatever you are, call yourself. Doesn't matter whatever those hundreds of denominations that flew around. Now, do you have a manual? The manual led you to Christ. See, this manual will lead you to Christ. You read this manual, 2 Timothy 4, the Bible said, Timothy, read the scripture because it's good unto salvation. You will get the Lord Jesus paying for your sin right here in the Bible, not in the newspaper tomorrow.
in the Bible. You will see that the Bible gives you the security of God. Are you studying the plan? Well, let me close with one super verse. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. This is the way I translated myself. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is something alive and active. It cuts more incisively than any two-edged sword. It can seek out the place where soul is divided from the spirit or joins from the marrow. It can pass judgment on secret emotions and thoughts of the heart. So that with the Bible, you cannot fool anybody. I tell you why Satan hate the Bible. Satan hate the Bible because Satan cannot fool the Bible. And if you hold the Bible, you clean your life. The reason why we sin, the reason why we are weak, is because we stop studying the plan. Study the plan and get clean before God, and the power of God be upon your life. Father, we are encouraged by the scripture. We are encouraged by what we heard today, that the Bible is still fresh and alive. And so, Father, with all our heart we pray, that you will create in each one of us a desire to study the plan so that we can praise you, so that we can say great things about our God. We learn from teachers, we learn from pastors, but we should learn ourselves. Oh God, give us the desire to read a few minutes a day to see what plan you have for us today. Oh God, thank you for the Bible. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.
You are Lord our God.
Thank you for the superb music of our church. Thank you. We are on the first Sunday of the month, and it is our tradition to have the Lord's Supper. And so I'm going to ask the deacons, Jack, Cassandra, Victor, Laurel, and Joe Plica,